Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If you have just joined us, welcome to Radio Islam International. Welcome to the program Socially Speaking. I'm your host, Sister Zeenat. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Well, listeners, as usual, first up this morning is Monday Morning Focus. And inshallah, this morning, we'll be focusing on a workshop brought to you by the Islamic Care Line, inshallah. It's titled, Understanding Your Child's Misbehavior. And talking to me about it this morning is Sister Shuhaida Adam. She is from the Islamic Helpline, the Islamic Care Line. In Johannesburg, alhamdulillah. That will be followed by Socially Speaking, and this morning I'll be discussing something, I hope it's interesting and also very pertinent. It's a very pertinent topic, so I think, yeah, it will be interesting. How to handle or how to cope with a job you hate, and also, you know, perhaps creating fun jobs, inshallah. So that'll come up a little later in the program. But for now, we're crossing over to Johannesburg and to the Islamic Care Line. We have Sister Shuhaida with us online. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Shuhaida.
Walaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakallah for having Islamic Care Line on your show this morning.
Alhamdulillah. Thanks so much for joining us. Now, you have the workshop that's coming up soon, inshallah. It's all about understanding your child's misbehavior. But perhaps you can, just talk to us a little about the Parenting in Practice series. What is that all about?
Okay, look, Islamic Care Line has been offering individualized parenting services for quite a few years now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, through the course of offering these services, our counselors have discussed it and we realize how many parents are facing similar challenges with their children. So the family situations may be different individually, but essentially they're struggling with similar issues. They're struggling with their children who are all in similar environments as well. Mm-hmm. So what we decided to do is to offer a broader service to the community in terms of a workshop, so that it would be more accessible for people who are unable to set individual appointments to come and focus on their parenting. And we wanted to make it something that's very practical. So it's going to be a workshop where, you know, we give you tools in how to address these issues with your children. It focuses on different topics. So we have we want to hold four workshops per year, each with a different topic. And the topics that we focus on come from our parents themselves. We do research on it. We ask them what are the main things that they're struggling with at this point. We invite experts in the field of parenting to present on it, to give the parents assistance and guidance in what they can do when they're facing these challenges with their children. We give them, like I said, we give them tools, we give them methodologies that they can use. We give them also, one of the main things that we give them is understanding of what the child is going through or what's the reason for this behavior or, you know, what's the environment that the child is facing right now, what's the school environment, the madrasa environment, that kind of a thing. What's normal also, what you can expect at this age, what's a bit abnormal, what's something that maybe we would recommend that the child needs to go for individual therapy, or what we think is, you know, as a family, maybe as parents, you can sort of address that rather than sending the child for counseling or therapy. Because essentially also we don't want children to be exposed to a therapeutic environment and to be exposed to therapy when there's no real need for it. Parenting is a very, 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 very strong it's a very strong tool to use in terms of addressing a lot of development issues with children, and we really encourage parents to be the first port of call. When a parent is really struggling and then they realize that, you know, then we need extra special help, then we want them to come for therapy. We don't want it to be the first port of call when you're experiencing a problem with your child. Yeah. So we decided to implement this and to open it to the community. We have a very nominal fee for entrance. It's very minimal. So it's quite accessible. It's open to everybody. So it's not only for our clients as well or children that we are seeing. Just to assist the parents with the raising of children. Mm-hmm.
So this anyway is going on around all the time. You have it on a regular basis at the care line, you know, taking into account the kinds of problems that parents normally come up with, with children. So this is basically, you know, just to help more parents out there, you know, get more information and make it easier for them to understand what parenting skills, I understand. But anyway, having said that, how important is effective parenting for our families?
It's very critical. You know, raising a child is challenging. Raising one child is challenging. Raising a few children is even more challenging for any parent. You have a child here who you know, it's your child. You absolutely love your child with all your being. This child is reliant on you for whatever you can see, you know, their physical needs, their clothing, their food, whatever. But also what you don't see, what's on the inside of this child. You know, their need for love. Every child needs love. Every child needs a sense of belonging to their family. They need to feel that they are worth something. And that child is reliant on you as a parent. You're the primary parent, so the child is reliant on you for that. And this is where effective parenting comes in, where we hope to assist parents with that responsibility that they have, because parenting is also a responsibility towards this child to develop this child into a well-functioning adult. So this is where we would also like to come in to make it more effective, because, you know, we can give you plenty of lectures about this is what a child is about, this is what a child does, this is what your responsibility as a parent, you as a parent are supposed to do this, you as a parent are supposed to do that. But then you can walk away from my lecture and you won't really have an idea of how exactly to go about it, because many people say that parenting doesn't come with a roadmap and parenting doesn't come with a manual. You have to take each child as they present themselves as well. So what we want to do is we want to make it a lot more effective for you, where we give you ideas, we give you tools, we give you understanding into how to cope with your child individually, so that it can be something practical that you can go home and you can, when your child is presenting a certain behavior, or when you have an idea that my child is lacking in a certain area, what exactly can I do to focus on that as well? Instead of, you know, you have this idea of, I don't know what to do next. So I sort of just take each day as it comes, and then your child could go either way for any child. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to make it very effective and very relevant at this point also. What we do is, we look also at the times that we're in, what are the current issues that they're facing, what are the, you know, the latest fads that are up and how that's affecting our children as well, and we're trying to offer assistance with that as well.
Mm-hmm. You know, taking the times that we are in, and obviously knowing very well that every child is different, and of course that, you know, what works for one doesn't always work for the other. So it becomes very, very challenging these days for parents, alhamdulillah. So I'm sure having, workshops like this would, inshallah, be of great assistance to parents out there. It really becomes difficult, you know. Mm-hmm. I think, especially parents these days, they have so many challenges outside, in the environment, wherever you go. And it really becomes very difficult. And, you know, parents then tend to think that, you know, we failed somewhere along the line, especially if you have one child doing well and the other one, you know, going off the line and things like that. So, alhamdulillah. Anyway, the Careline is hosting a workshop on understanding the goals of misbehavior. Now, what exactly is meant by, you know, this goals of misbehavior?
Look, we realize that children don't just present dysfunctional behavior for no reason. So we're trying to educate parents on, you know, when they come across a situation where their child is presenting a certain type of behavior that's difficult for the parent to manage, we're trying to educate them on what is the child trying to convey through this behavior itself. So we're talking about the messages that children are unable to express for themselves. So a child may not realize that they're feeling a certain way, but it becomes manifested through a certain behavior. For example, a child may be demanding a lot of attention, for example. The underlying issue with that might be also maybe due to family circumstances, or the family is going through difficulty, or whatever the case is. The child is actually feeling quite unloved by this parent, and the child doesn't realize it. They're unable to say it because they themselves, they don't really know that. But it manifested in a certain way where they are starting to demand that love from you. They're starting to demand it in any way. So then it manifests itself in a way that the child starts demanding attention. And as a parent, you don't really realize it. You just sort of believe that the child is being naughty, or the child just wants attention for no real reason, or to deflect attention from another child, or for whatever the case is. But what we want to do is we want to educate parents on also how they as parents can deal with the behavior that the child is manifesting, and then with a goal as well. So once you realize what's the underlying message of this misbehavior, what can you as a parent do? So we're going to give you tools on what exactly you can do when this child is presenting this and how you can alleviate the situation. If it's a high tense situation or, you know, a highly volatile situation, the child is throwing a temper tantrum or something like that, we want to give you the tools as well so you can cope with it, but also for you as a parent to build your confidence as well. Because often when parents are facing a difficult situation with their child, they second guess themselves so much that, did I do the right thing? Did I handle this in the right way? Did I really understand what this child is saying? What is my child trying to say? I can't pick up. I don't understand. What am I as a parent doing? They have a lot of self-doubt as parents. So we want to also build up that confidence. And, you know, we want to encourage parents also to trust the instinct as well. Oftentimes, you know your child best. A parent will know their child better than us as therapists as well. You know your child, so go with what your instinct also tells you sometimes. And when you sort of educate yourself, you'll sharpen that instinct, you'll sharpen your understanding of your children, and you'll be able to sort of, you know, when you look at your child and when you look at their misbehavior, you have an understanding of, what is this child trying to say? And I know my child, what is normal for this child, what is not normal? Where can I start realizing that, you know, I need to step in a little bit more in a certain area, or I need to step back a little more in a certain area? Those kinds of things. So that is what we're trying to educate parents on. Not only the goals of the child's misbehavior and what the child is going through, but you as a parent as well. And then you can also, once you start realizing what feelings your child provokes in you when they're misbehaving, then you can start identifying what exactly is this child trying to say at the same time.
Mm-hmm. So important for us to always find out what the reason behind the behavior is when a child really misbehaves. I think it's so important. And sometimes we as parents don't, take that time just to try and find out what the cause, why the child behaves the way the child is. Mm. And we just, come to conclusions. And
Definitely. And I think a lot of parents, we just in, I would say, crisis mode. Mm. And we're in damage control mode. If a child is misbehaving in a certain way, we need to just end it immediately and, you know, get the child to go and do whatever it is that they're supposed to be doing, because we don't have time, or we need to go do this, that. And we need to just move on to the next child. And as parents, you know, we need to sort of take a bit of time out with our children, spend that quality time where there isn't that the demands of everyday life that's hanging over our heads and hanging on the child's head, that they, you know, they have 5 minutes with their parent, and then in that 5 minutes it's about, you need to do this, you need to do that, you need to do that. So it's not really quality time that they're spending with the parent, and we're trying to encourage people as well that you have to do that quality time to get to know your child.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about just the tasks and the errands and the work that needs to be done and what they haven't done and their misbehavior. It's also about knowing your child, what their sensitivities are, what their feelings, what are they going through at this point, what are they struggling with and that they're unable to voice, and those kinds of things. That's the quality that we're trying to instill within families as well. And inshallah, if our children can develop into responsible, well-developed young adults, when they start their own families, then they will carry these positive behaviors and positive parenting into their own families as well. And through that, then we're hoping that we're able to bring about changes in our society, because we realize how our families are in crisis. Mm-hmm. It's internationally recognized right now. Families are in crisis, marriages are in crisis, our societies are in crisis. And we realize that change actually, it starts parent-child relationship.
Most definitely. Now, the event itself, for which parents is this event for?
Like I said, it's open to all parents of whoever can make it on the day. It's not only restricted to Keyline clients, but also teachers, mu'allims, mu'allimas, whoever's working with children, and they want to understand their children more deeper, and get to realize also what is the misbehavior that they may be facing in the classroom with their pupils as well. It will be something really of benefit to them, and it's for parents of all age children as well, because we realize younger children, there's the same goal of misbehavior. They may present it in a different way, and then older children, our adolescents, our older teenagers, it will come out in a certain way as well. And then we're opening it up to everybody who would be interested.
Alhamdulillah. Who's the guest speaker at the event?
Okay, we have Erika Hitcher. She's a clinical psychologist. She specializes in play therapy work. So she did her master's in play therapy. And she also does forensic work with children. She and parenting as well. And she does family work as well. She's got many years of practice in the field. She's in private practice as well. And she does training as well for counselors, psychologists, and people in the human services profession in terms of family work and in terms of children as well. So there's a lot to offer. She will be available also afterwards for a long Q&A. So parents are able to ask her for the individual children now, you know, for the individualized family issues and that kind of a thing. And she usually, you know, we've had her before. She gives comprehensive answers, and she's a very patient person. So the way she sort of explains her techniques and understanding and that kind of a thing, anybody would be able to walk out there and, you know, you will have full clarity on what she was trying to say.
Alhamdulillah. And, of course, just the details about the workshop, you know, when is this happening, the time, the venue, etc.?
It's happening this Saturday, inshallah, 16th of September. We're hoping to start at 9 o'clock until half past 12. It's at Nona Memorial. It's in it's on Foyle Street in Crosby, Johannesburg.
Okay. And how long? So it's 9, 10, 11, 12, about 2.5, 3 hours?
Yeah, 2.5 hours. We'll have a break in between.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, also we have a very long Q&A as well. So we're hoping that parents will be able to stay until the end. And one of the other things we realize in these parenting events, that people also, the parents who are in attendance, they get a lot of comfort from knowing that the next person is sitting there, once they start sharing the challenges that they're having, is that a lot of them are sharing the same challenges. So they're able, a lot of the times our workshops actually turn into discussions as well, almost like a support group, because people take a lot of comfort from knowing that we're all sharing similar things, and they tend to share also what works for them, what doesn't work for them, and that kind of a thing. So it becomes quite, but we find that a lot of the times it's 2.5 to 3 hours also. It's not actually enough time.
Yeah.
Because parents, you know, we have a lot to talk about our children. So we're encouraging people to come through, come with an open mind, and come with, just be open and come with the issues and just interact with us, and hopefully, inshallah, you know, you walk away with a lot that you can benefit from.
Okay. Do you need to book a seat, you know, and who can they contact?
Yes, they can call us at Islamic Airline, and please, we would encourage people to RSVP. It is 50 rand a person, so they can contact us on 011-373-8080 or 078-727-1334. At Islamic Airline, and they can just leave their details with the reception.
Okay, so they can just call you at reception. So it's happening
Yes. This
Saturday between 9 and 12.30, and it's at, can you just share that address with us again?
It's at Nona Memorial Hall.
Oh, okay.
It's on Foyle Street in Crosby.
Okay. So anybody interested can contact you on those numbers that we shared with you. The numbers will be available at the radio station too. So, but anyway, thank you so much, Reda, for sharing all that information with us. And we do hope you have a wonderful workshop, inshallah, and beneficial for all our listeners out there.
Ameen. Jazakallah khair.
Okay. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Okay, so that was Shuhaida Adam from the Islamic K-Line, and they're having this wonderful workshop taking place on the 16th of September. That's the Saturday from 9 to 12.30. It's all about understanding your child's misbehavior. If you are interested in attending, please contact them on this number. You have to RSVP 011-373-8080 or 078-727-1334. And you can just, you know, contact them and get all the details and whatever you need to know there. But Jazakallah khair, when we return, inshallah, we're going to be talking about how to handle, you know, a job you hate, and also how to create some fun jobs, or creating fun jobs, inshallah. Stay tuned, we'll be back in a few moments. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to the program, Socially Speaking. But unfortunately, we don't have Maulana Venkar with us online today. I believe he may be back after the Hajj, and I thought we'll give him a break just, you know, after the Hajj, so he can take a little break. Inshallah, we will have him back with us soon. But, you know, Having had this interview earlier about the workshop that's taking place, and it's all about understanding your child's misbehavior, I came across this very interesting and thought-provoking read that I came across. It's on one of our family chat groups, and I thought, you know, it's so ideal. I need to share this with our listeners out there. It's about the most important thing that you can do for your children. So let's see what it says. It says you can use most... almost any measure when you're speaking of success. You can measure it in a fancy home, expensive car or dress, but the measure of real success is the one you cannot spend. It's the way your kids describe you when they're speaking to a friend. It's written by Martin Buxbaum. But now, you're probably trying your best to be a good parent, right? Now, think for a moment about all the time, the energy, and the money you put into your children. You send them to the best school and madrasa. You help them with their homework. You buy them the cutest clothes. You take them to the best doctors. You spend, you plan special days for them, and you make their favorite dinner. Well, that's all fine, but But make no mistake about it. The most important thing you can do for your children is none of those things. The most important thing you can do for your children has nothing to do with their education, their entertainment, their athletic endeavors, or even their physical health. The most important thing you can do for your children is to have a great marriage with your spouse. It's hard to be a good parent unless you have a good marriage. Now, why? Because teaching your children how to succeed in love is your most important responsibility. There will be nothing more important in your children's lives than the success of their marriage. And I'm sure you know all about that. And who's going to teach them how to love their spouse? Of course, you are. But they won't learn, or they won't learn from it, or rather, They just won't learn from what you say. They learn it from the life you lead. They learn it from your marriage. Now, Ralph Waldo Emerson said, "Who you are speaks so loudly, I can't hear a word you're saying." Whatever you want your children to achieve in their life, you first have to achieve yourself. If you're struggling in your marriage, it's probably because your parents struggle too. So who's going to break the cycle? Will you be the one to change things for generations to come? Or will your children suffer the same burden? All the ball's in your court. It's not easy to be what's called a transition person, but it's doable. You can be the transition person in your lineage and pave a new path for future generations in your family. There's nothing better for your children than to raise amidst the comfort of parents who love each other. And there's nothing more devastating to a young soul than to be the victim of a broken family. If your children don't see love between you and your spouse, it won't matter where they go to, school or madrasa or how fashionably they are dressed. But if they witness true love between you and your spouse, you will give them the greatest gift life has to offer. So please be a good parent. Do everything you can to succeed with your marriage. So I think I just shared this with you because I feel this is, you know, just having a stable home, a loving home to grow up in, where you see your parents loving each other, caring for each other, where you see them doing things for each other, understanding each other, talking to each other. You know, I think that is the best gift you can give to your children. And I think it's half your problem solved when parenting or when bringing up your children, inshallah. Well, we're now going to be talking about something very different again. It's how to handle, a job you hate. How many of you really hate your job? Yeah, if you have that I hate my job feeling for whatever reason, it may be understandably stressful to go to work. And because job stress is one of the most commonly experienced stresses, this is clearly what many face and would like to be rid of. Now, today, inshallah, I'll share with you some steps that you can follow, to find that greater satisfaction at your current job, and also how to make your current job more fulfilling and less stressful. So, inshallah, listen carefully. I'm sure you will enjoy this, and it may just be very beneficial to you. So let's look at how to cope with a job you hate. While everyone feels like they in a rut sometimes, you just cringe at the thought of Mondays. Many of us do. Sometimes that feeling can escalate and be much more pervasive. If you're having a few too many of those "I hate my my job" days, then I'm sure you're not alone. There's so many of us out there. But that doesn't mean that you should accept those feelings of dread that accompany even the thought of going to work. You don't have to work at a job you hate, and you probably don't even have to switch jobs to stop working at the job you hate. So it doesn't mean if you hate your job, you need to leave that job immediately and find something else. You can actually make it better. Now, there's just a few simple steps that you can make to find greater satisfaction at your current job. Firstly, you can gain a better understanding of what's behind that "I hate my job" feeling. You know, everybody, everything you do in life, I think you always need to, just sit back. No matter how you feel, always sit back and think, what is making me feel this way? Come to the bottom, or come to the main reason why you feel the way you feel. So even if you just hate your job, don't just say, "I hate my job, I need to leave it, I have to find another job." It's not so simple. Firstly, it's so difficult to find a job these days. So I suggest the best thing you do is just sit down, think about it, try and find the reason why you feel the way you feel. Now, different people find different things they hate about their jobs, but generally, what people hate about work tends to be what contributes to job burnout. Now, I'm going to share with you just a few reasons, very briefly, of course. We don't have the time to go into every reason that I'm going to be sharing with you. And maybe we don't have an expert with us, but I want to share these with you. So maybe, we can look at these things and it can make a difference in your life and your outlook towards your job, inshallah. Okay, the first one is mismatch of skills. Sometimes you are overqualified and you may feel bored at what you are doing because you don't have the job that you really want and you're overqualified. So you are doing something that you can, it's something that you just become so bored with. If expectations are too high, you may feel overwhelmed and stressed. So that's the first one, mismatch of skills. The second would be low control. People need to feel that they have some control over their lives in general, and this certainly applies to your job. Now, if you feel that you can't control what happens to you at your job, you will likely experience almost everything at work as more stressful. So you need to always be in control when you are at, whatever job you are doing. You need to know what it's all about. You need to know what you are doing. You need to understand what you are doing, and basically you need to be in control. And if you are not, it can become very stressful. And also the next one is maybe you have a lot of pressure, high pressure. Are there heavy consequences if you make a mistake? Well, people often think that working long hours is the big contributor to burnout. But working under high pressure circumstances really adds more stress. So sometimes, actually, you can work for longer hours. It doesn't mean that, you're going to really be burnt out completely. Some people really enjoy their work and they can work for as long as possible. But what really causes problems is when you are working under pressure, high pressure, maybe your boss. Putting so much of pressure on you and you can't handle that pressure, that then can be one of the reasons that you start hating your job. Then the fourth one is low recognition. Now, are you recognized for your achievements? Are you adequately rewarded for your hard work? If not, it generally becomes difficult to stay motivated. So, you know, sometimes it's so important for people to just acknowledge that what you are doing is, you know, is good. And you can in that way motivate a person to do even better. And if people don't acknowledge what you are doing, you know, your boss never once acknowledges or says thank you or says well done, good job, things like that. I think sometimes people just need that little bit of acknowledgement, and that can actually motivate a person to do even better. So these are some of the reasons, you know, why you actually can start hating your job. Now, if you find that your job fits some of these criteria, or you have that I hate my job feelings for other reasons perhaps, it may be understandably stressful to go to work. You know, these are some of the reasons. Obviously, there are more reasons, but if you do, you know, if these are some of the reasons, then maybe those are the reasons that makes you not want to go to your job, or also makes you want actually hate your job. However, what is very important is quitting may not be the best option, at least not right away. If you need the job, you are concerned about finding a similar or better position, or you can't quit for some other reason, you don't need to, you know, feel despondent. There are certain steps that you can take to feel less stressed at work, and you can start enjoying your work more. Now, just a few, you know, steps that I came across and that I would like to share with you, and that I feel that you may try out, and it may just actually make your job, you know, a little more nicer, stressless, so you don't want to be stressed at work. Okay, here we go. The first one is to incorporate your strength. In order to enjoy your job, you need to be challenged just the right amount, not too much and not too little. Further still, it's best to be challenged in ways that leads to flow in strengths at which you naturally excel. Now, when we talk about flow, that means you are inspired and you know things are going the way you want it to go. It's going right. It's going in the direction you want it to go. So it leads to that flow. Then the second one is to make your job, your job better along the lines of incorporating your skills into your current job. Talk to your employer and see if you can build a better job for yourself by slightly altering the responsibilities you have. Take on new challenges that can help the company. Things you naturally enjoy and you do well at, and see if the areas that are overly stressful might be better managed by someone else who excels in that area. And also remember the rewards. When things get difficult, remind yourselves, or you know, why you're doing this in the first place. Keep your eyes on the prize and remember the rewards you find in your work. If you're having you know, a difficult time, see if you can add a few extra rewards for yourself. Give yourself a treat at the end of the day as a reward for hard work. This can be as simple as a nice bubble bath or just something that makes you relax, a little relaxing session, for example. I don't know, anything that makes you feel good, makes you feel relaxed. Just taking a good book and reading it, or just sitting on a couch and relaxing for that matter, anything that makes you feel good, or perhaps even just spending some time with your friends. Also, you need to learn to laugh about things. Finding the humor in your situation can turn stresses into stress relievers, or at least it can rob them of their stress-inducing power. Here are some, obviously, if you don't have some tips, you can always find ways of laughing about difficult situations. It makes it so much easier. You know, sometimes you're in such a difficult situation, but if you can smile about it or just laugh about it or make a joke about it, it gives you that little relief that you need. Then you need to practice stress management, and obviously there's many ways that you can always read up stress management techniques or go for help if you need to. If you can relive general stress, then you'll be likely to feel less overwhelmed by specific stresses at your job. And like we said, if you don't know how to do it, then just go for some help if you need to learn to manage your stress. And of course, the most important one is to get support. Be sure you have support in your life. See if you can organize a supportive network or co-workers to commiserate and congratulate each other in the trials and triumphs of your job. Or create a group among your friends outside of work. And these groups can work wonders for one's mood. And if you feel overwhelmed and unable to cope, then you can talk to a professional. You don't have to handle an overwhelming situation alone. I think also a very important point that I would like to share with you that I personally feel is important is to talk to your spouse about your stresses. It's very rewarding to be able to have support from the one that you love most. So, you know, your spouse should be one of the persons that you can actually communicate, talk to her or to him for that matter, and get the support that you want from them, inshallah. Okay, now, what I also want to talk to you about very quickly, I know we don't have much time, but I'll just share it with you very quickly, is creating fun jobs. Now, when young people are considering their future career choices, they are often given the advice to follow their passion and look for work that involves passion and meaning. However, in a challenging job market, many people feel the need to actually take jobs that are less than their ideal but will do for now. This means that many people are in jobs that they like but don't love, or sometimes don't even like. You know, the situation is very bad out there. People don't really care, or you know, jobs are so difficult to get these days. So do you wish that you had a better job? Fun jobs aren't just for the very lucky, believe it or not. Most regular jobs can be turned into fun jobs with some tweaking. This is good news for many people who find themselves in, you know, a difficult job climate and may not want to risk quitting a safe job in search of a job that's more enjoyable. So many of times, you know, we take what we get just because we're so in need of that job. Interestingly, what makes a job fun depends on the individual, and virtually everyone can take steps to make their current job more enjoyable to them personally. So different people in the same organization can take on different responsibilities that may complement each other. Now, the desire to make a job more enjoyable isn't a frivolous one. While fun jobs can contain some stress, people generally find these types of jobs that fit their needs in terms of utilizing their unique strengths and providing the right type of challenge and meaning, come with less clock watching, less Monday morning dread, less stress. Now, because some jobs is one of, you know, is one of the most commonly experienced stresses, this is clearly something that many people face and would like to get rid of. And I'm going to share with you some steps that will help people take their current jobs more fulfilling and less stressful. So let's just go through some of them. First of all, I spoke about finding the flow earlier on. They say it's about thinking about the times in your life when you experience a flow. You lose track of time, you feel inspired, and things feel really easy for you. Is it when you're doing specific activities such as organizing people, troubleshooting problems, or decorating a space? Or in daily life, do you find certain aspects of your day tend to feed you emotionally, like when you engage in conversation with people, cracking jokes, or spending time alone? Now, you need to see if there are ways to work these things into your current job. Be the, you know, maybe the office party planner, for example, or if you love to plan events, volunteer to deal with disgruntled customers if conflict resolution is your forte. maintain a sense of humor throughout the day if it is at all possible. Jobs that lend themselves to flow are generally experienced as fun jobs. It is important to note that sometimes creating flow in your workday means adding new responsibilities that include the right level of challenge and meaning rather than swapping activities that are less enjoyable for those more enjoyable activities, which are known as gratifications. This can be worth the effort even if it means slightly more work. This type of activity can relieve stress and also involve more meaning and enjoyment in your job. It can be well worth the extra effort. Now, you know, sometimes people have these jobs and they just work according to their job description. They wouldn't do one thing that is not in their job description. And that can become so boring sometimes, and it can then cause people to start hating their jobs. Actually, just to do a little extra would, alhamdulillah, be so much that can actually make your job much easier. Then the other one is just two more that I want to quickly share with you, and I just have a few minutes, so I'll just share it quickly with you. Think about the ways that your current job helps people or could help people. We all have experienced sales clerks who clearly hate their jobs and they don't want to be there, and sales clerks who have, who take the time to talk to us and make our day special. The clerks who go out of their way to spread happiness are providing a real service and are also more likely to think of their jobs as fun jobs than the first group. How does your job allow you to touch people's lives? You may be able to share positivity to people you encounter. You may find opportunities to help others by sharing your expertise, or you may even inspire others. Jobs that make the world a better place lend a sense of satisfaction and are likely to be experienced as fun jobs. Now, alhamdulillah, I think we as presenters, really have very rewarding and satisfying jobs. We have the ability to touch the lives of many people and help change and inspire and spread happiness and spread positivities. So really, alhamdulillah, that becomes a very rewarding and fun job. So really, this is something that shukr, we must make a lot of shukr for. Also, and the final one is creating meaning. Use your creativity and share your special gifts in your current job, and you may find your experience of your job transformed. Look at how your job can contribute to society in a positive way and find greater meaning in your work. Focusing on the intangible rewards of work can transform your most jobs into fun jobs and can reduce job stress as well. So, yes, you can actually make your job fun, inshallah. So I do hope these few points that I've shared with you will be of benefit to you, inshallah. And that brings us to the end of our program today, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.